wonder in my
soul. I feel that, y'all.
Ladies and gentlemen, the gospel is on your radio.
I'm thirsty.
This is KAYT, Gina Alexandria, 88.1. K255BT, Monroe, West Monroe, 98.9. K223BI, Greenwood, Shreveport, 92.5. KQJO, St. Joseph, Natchez, 99.3. He's a wonder. And the gospel continues to grow. Praising the Lord. In Senla and in Miss Lou.
My soul. Come on, mama, and tell me what he's been to you.
Hi, this is Pastor Arthur LaValle with Kingdom Life Fellowship Community Ministry, welcoming you to another opportunity to transform your life. Did you know that you possess the power and the responsibility to determine your future and destiny? Did you know that you are the sum total of the choices and decisions you make every day? However, the ability for you to make the right decisions for a life that will lead to your God-given destiny depends on your quality of knowledge. Self-development demands self-discipline. It is our desire to see your life transformed by the messages on these broadcasts. Prepare to receive as we join this opportunity to grow and expand, as we inspire you and motivate you to achieve your greatest in God's purpose for your life. Sit back now and listen to a message that is designed to destroy ignorance and empower you to become an effective human on this planet as you inspire others to reach their maximum potential. Let us join the seminar in progress.
Persecuted, but not forsaken.
Hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Thank you, my Father. Thank you, Father, for once again, a precious opportunity, Father, where we can come together and just feast at the King's table, my Father. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, my Father. Thank you for your grace and your mercy, Lord. It endures forever, Lord. You're an awesome God, and there's none like you and all the earth, Father. And we give you glory, we give you honor, and we give you praise, Father, for the great God that you are. And again, we count it an awesome honor and a privilege. Hallelujah. All of those under the sound of my voice, my Father God, and that we can just eat from the King's table, Father, and we can hear what you have to say by your Spirit to the church in this hour, my Father. And we count it an honor and a privilege, my Father, that you will send us together. So here's our cup. Fill it up, Father, and make us whole, my Father. And as in always, we're careful to give you all of the credit, all of the praise, all of the honor. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, now and forever, in the precious name of Jesus. Amen, amen, and so shall it be. Hey, mighty men and mighty women of the Most High God. Hallelujah. I've been radio land. I get excited. I told y'all every time, man, we come on this radio broadcast and I get the chance to say, hey, mighty men and my women of the Most High God, man, listen, boy, something go off on the inside of me. Because, man, you know, in reality, the more I say that, like I told you before, the more I say that, the more I have faith in that, you know, because that's the word of God, you know. The word, the Bible says he's standing in the congregation of the mighty. That's in Psalms 82. And he judges amongst the gods. That song is about us, you know, and it's about, you know, about what God standing where in the congregation of the mighty. And I, hey, listen, I'm also going to say, and I have seen, you are gods and children of the Most High God. Hallelujah. Listen, there's a lot of titles that we come up under in the Christian world, you know, and all kind of titles, apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, teachers, bishops, popes, whatever, you know, all those titles. But the greatest of all, because, see, one day you ain't going to have no more need for apostles, evangelists, pastors, teachers, you know. Ain't going to have no more need for popes, bishops. Ain't going to have no more need for church as we know it. But you're going to always be a child of the Most High God. You're going to always be a king and a queen. You always be, you know, an ambassador of the kingdom of God and the kingdom of heaven. Those are eternal titles. Those are titles we're going to have forever. Well, you're a king if you're in a male body. You're a queen if you're in a female body. Hallelujah. The Bible says in Galatians, we're no longer servants, but sons of God. And if sons of God, then heirs of God. And St. John is saying, as many as believed on him, he gave them the power to become the sons of God. That's eternal title. You're going to always be a child of the Most High God. Glory to God. Always. And listen, if you're a child of the Most High God and created in his image and his likeness, and listen, we say this all the time, our God is a great God. Our God is a mighty God. And if he created us in his image and in his likeness, then we are mighty people. Glory to God. And boy, we need to grab a hold to that and take hold of that and begin to walk in the reality of that, just how great and mighty we are. Why do you say that, Arthur? Because our God is a great and mighty God. Jesus is a great and mighty God. The Holy Spirit is a great and mighty God. And the Bible says, contrary to popular opinion, but the Bible says, glory to God, the Bible says that, boy, we just like him, man, you know, that we created his image in this likeness. The Bible says, as he is, so are we. Hallelujah. So if he's a mighty God, then we are mighty children of the Most High God. If he's a great God, then we are great children of the Most High God. If he's a powerful God, hey, we are powerful children of the Most High God. And those are the ones who God is looking to and for the earth for, so we can show himself strong on their behalf. Who? The mighty men and the mighty women of the Most High God. That's why I say, hey, mighty man, mighty woman of the Most High God. Why? Because God want to use you too. Hallelujah. He want to use you in a great and mighty way. Hallelujah. What? That would bring glory to his name. You know what glory to his name literally means? It literally means, man, bring manifestation to his word. You know, that's the logos. That's the spoken word. And then there's the rhema. That's the living word, you know. One man is a spoken word, but boy, when that spoken word is acted upon and applied to our life, then it not only become a logos, a spoken word, but it become a rhema. That's a living word. That's a word that that's being applied to our everyday life. And as we apply God's word to our everyday life, not just hear, not just preach it, not just teach it, not just sing about it, though all those are included in it, but boy, when we begin to apply that word of God. See, there's three stages of the word of God. There's observation. You got to see what it says first. That's observing. Then there's interpretation. That's why we have fivefold ministry, you know, to help us interpret the word of God, to have understanding to the word of God. And then there's the third and most crucial stage. That's the application. But interpretation, observation, interpretation, and application. And boy, when we begin to apply that word to our lives, hallelujah, then God's not mocked. He got to watch over his word to perform it. But it's the applied word, not just the spoken word. Because, see, you can speak the word and then not act upon it. But, boy, if you speak the word and act upon it, boy, that's going to bring glory to his name. Well, his Bible says in Revelation, his name shall be called the Word of God. That's going to bring manifestation to his word. Hallelujah. And when his word is manifested in the earth, the Bible says, boy, the whole earth is going to be filled with the glory of God. What's the glory of God? The full expression of God's word to our lives. Hallelujah. 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 That's why, you know, when I say on this radio broadcast, hey, mighty men and mighty women of the Most High God, that ain't no cliche. Boy, that's the reality of God's word. And the more we say it, the more we start to act on it, first you got to come to the knowledge of it, observation. And then, man, we got to understand that we no longer serve a son of the Most High God. And if son, then heirs of God. And boy, when we begin to act on that, hallelujah. Boy, that would please the Father, boy. When he and I just have hearers of the word, but doers of the word, glory to God. So let's not just hear what God's word say to us, boy, when we hear God's word, but let's apply that to our everyday life so that we can see the manifestation of it in our lives and that God can do great and mighty things through a great and mighty people. So again, it's an honor and privilege for us to be on this radio broadcast with y'all, for us to come through the gates of thanksgiving, through the court of praise, through this Bible study, through this radio broadcast, through our churches, all the way through all of that, not around it, not no other way, come through that, all the way into the literal presence of the Most High God. Well, then, when you get into his presence, then you can see that the king's taken in. The verse it is, you know, the kingdom of heaven is like a king that gave a great banquet for his son and invited everybody to come in. The king gave a great banquet for his son and invited all of us to come on in to the banquet and sit at the king's table and eat the king's food. What king's food? That's the hill God say himself. Hallelujah. Not just through men and women of God, we speak from our hearts too, but that we can hear what the Spirit of the Lord has to say about what we as men and women. You can hear the voice behind our word. And you can hear what the Holy Spirit say to you about what we say. Hallelujah. What that is then, that's revelation knowledge then. That's the Holy Spirit by word, what he do best, hallelujah. And that's the leading guide us into the reality of what it means to be sons and daughters of the Most High God. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. So again, it's an honor and a privilege to be on this radio broadcast with all of y'all and that our God to just minister to us, that will build us up, that will edify us, and give us our inheritance on those who are set apart. Hallelujah. What the Bible says in Acts chapter 20, verse 32, come, you who are blessed of your Father, and get your inheritance for all of the kingdom of heaven that was prepared for you before the foundation of the world. First, it says this, I commend you under the word of God's grace, which is able to build you up and give you your inheritance amongst those who are sanctified. So let's go before our Father in heaven, amen, and just allow him, by his Holy Spirit, using his word, Jesus Christ, to minister to us, to edify us, to build us up, until we all come to the fullness of the stature of Christ. That's a fixed, predictable image of Jesus Christ. There's a fixed, predictable image of our Father in heaven. Glory to God. But that when it's all said and done, that we all might be one. Hallelujah. Him in us, us in them, all of us one. Hallelujah. We in Christ, Christ in God, God in us, Christ in us, all of us just one. So again, let's grow in the revelation of who we are. You know, I have on here again with us, I guess, you know, precious friends of mine, you know, Pastor Earlene and Apostle Ronald Edison from Bethlehem Valley Intervention Ministry, located in the Bunker, Louisiana area, you know, and they're on the radio broadcast with to us and praying for you. And if you have any prayer requests or anything, we don't y'all know that. That way you can call and we can pray with you, you know, edify you, build you up, encourage you, you know, in your walk with the Lord. And that will bring great pleasure and honor and glory, you know, even to us and our ministry. You know, it might fulfill what God has called us to do. And that's to edify you, to build you up for the work of your ministry. Everybody has a ministry. Hallelujah. God, in for the delay, I introduce to y'all, you know, once again, Pastor Early and Apostle Ronald Mitchell. Ronald Ilson, I'm sorry. With Bethel Divine Intervention Ministry, located in Bunker, Louisiana. So, Pastor and Apostles, the pleasure to have y'all on with us today on this radio broadcast. What an honor.
Amen. Thank you once again. Thanking God first and also you, Pastor Arthur, for allowing us another opportunity today to share what God has put on our heart to be a part of this great ministry today. And once again, I am Apostle Ronna Edison and my wife, Pastor Earlene Edison, and we are the overseers of Bethel Divine Intervention Ministry, 1909 Highway 71 North in Bunker, Louisiana. And we just take time out once again to thank God for what he's doing in the midst of us today. And without any further delay, because of the sake of time, would you please turn with me to Isaiah chapter 28. Isaiah chapter 28, verse 16, that is. And I'm going to branch over. You don't have to go there with me today, but I'm going to branch over to Exodus 17, chapter verse 6. And the 28th chapter of Isaiah, verse 16, read as follows. It said, therefore thus said the Lord God, behold, I lay in Zion for a foundation, a stone, a tried stone. I want you to circle that word tried in your Bible. A precious cornerstone. I want you to circle that word on your own phone. Precious stone. A sure foundation. He that believe it should not make haste. And I just want to use for a thought today, tried and precious. It has some significance behind these two words, tried and precious. We already prayed. I just want to pray and invite the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit, we welcome you. We thank you for your ministry. Lord, we thank you for your word and anointing over each and every one of us and your blood that is covering us right now. Lord, we thank you that it's the spirit that quickens and the flesh proper nothing. Lord, just words of spirit and they are life, God. And we thank you right now forever, oh Lord. Your word is settled in heaven. And in the name of Jesus, we pray, amen. Yeah. As I introduce our author today, we know that he is a prophet, and he is considered as one of the chief of all prophets because of his events. He had about recorded of 62 years of his writing. This man's name is Isaiah. He was the son of Amos. And here we find out that according to Exodus chapter 17, verse 6, one I wanted to read. It says, behold, I will stand before thee there upon the rock in Horeb. And it have two little, it have a dot and a comma looking like type at the end of that word, Horeb. That's a colon, that means stops. But it have another piece of this passage, but I don't want to go there. I just want to point out this portion, what I just read. Behold, I will stand before thee there upon the rock in Horeb. Focus on that word rock. All right, here we find out that this was a foreshadow of what I just read in the book of Exodus. It's a foreshadow of Isaiah, typologically speaking, that is, and it's a foreshadow of Peter. And this is all messianic. It is pointing us towards the Messiah, Jesus Christ. And it's some profound quotes here in this passage. He says that, I'm reading now Isaiah 28, chapter verse 16. He says, therefore, thus says the Lord God. Now, we know this is God speaking by his Holy Spirit to the prophet of God. And whenever thus says the Lord, this is God speaking to his people. And look what he's saying. He say, behold, listen up. He say, that's first person, that's meaning the Lord himself. He say, behold, I lay in Zion for a foundation, a stone, a tried stone. It just wasn't a stone, he said, for the foundation. He say, he would be a tried stone, a precious stone. Cornerstone. Notice he said that it wouldn't just be a stone, it would be a precious cornerstone. And he said he would be a sure foundation, and he believed it should not make haste. Let me elaborate on this passage here for a minute. For the most part, Jesus is that stone, that rock. And it said that he would be tried and a precious cornerstone, and he would be in Zion, a foundation, which means he would be a foundation of hope and stability. He would be tried and a precious cornerstone. This refers to a foundation stone that has been tested and proven to be reliable and strong. The Hebrew word for tried can also mean tested in the fire, suggesting a stone that has endured trials and proven its worth. The precious aspect highlights the value and importance of this foundation. And to the contrast, it warns against relying on false foundations and alliances. And when you see the word Zion here is put for his empire, kingdom, Jesus that is, or church, in general on this earth. To lay a cornerstone in Zion, what he is saying here in essence means Jesus' kingdom will be founded on a rock, will be secure amidst of all the storms that be upon it. We know that when we hear the name of Christ, when we read about Jesus Christ, we know that the Messiah, Jesus Christ, set the example. He was tested in the wilderness. He was tempted to turn bread or stone into bread when he was hungry. He was mocked. He was ridiculed, persecuted, beaten, abandoned, rejected, but yet betrayed, but yet he still walked in love. And it said that he moved with compassion. No matter who came up against Jesus' doctrine, who came up against his ministry, Christ walked in love, and he was always about being about his Father's business and pleasing the Father. Even a voice from heaven had said once when he was baptized with in the Jordan River, a voice cried and it said, "This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased." Jesus is precious. You know, I had an opportunity and a privilege around about the early 2000s. I'm going to say that probably around about 2001, maybe. I had an opportunity in a prison to help build a chapel. These people had donated thousands of dollars to build a chapel, and I helped build a chapel. And one thing I learned about building and about a foundation is that, first of all, it was just a nothing but a big piles of dirt. But then a bulldozer came in and it spread it out the dirt flat, and everything was just solid and made so perfectly and level off to come build. And I noticed that when the carpenter crew had came in, they would take some 2x4s and 4x4s, and they nailed the form together, the platform they had built in a box shape. And then the next thing you know, they had some people come in and they had to dig for the plumbers to put their little pipes and stuff in. Then they had to lay some plastic on the dirt, and then they had to take pea gravels on the foundation and put it on the plastic. Then the cement crew had to come in and lay down the cement, and then they had to do their job. They had to take a float and smooth and finish the cement, and then next thing you knew, they had a solid foundation that was fully equipped and fully rooted and solid like a hard rock. It was concrete. It was made for to have them to come on now and build the house of God. And one thing I noticed, that what I found to be profound, when the brick masonry crew came in, they came in with these bricks and they had mortar. Some of the guys was toting the mixer or the mortar in wheelbarrows, and they was instructed which direction to go for the brick mason. But one thing I noticed about those guys when they was building the brick house, they had a cornerstone set at the end of the building, and everything had to be placed up on line up on that cornerstone at the end of that building, brick upon brick upon brick upon brick. And if any kind of way, when they would take that level and set it on top of those bricks, if it had anything sideways, that bubble inside of that bevel, it would be off and it'd go outside the line. And they had to keep everything solid and straight where that bubble and that bevel, that measuring thing, they had to be set right there in the middle. And that mean that the bricks was even. Jesus Christ is considered, thank you, Holy Spirit, he's considered as being the chief cornerstone of the foundation for this, the church or the body of Jesus Christ. And upon the work at Calvary's cross, symbolically what I was just illustrating about building the sanctuary, Jesus laid out the blueprint, the foundation of our redemption plan for mankind upon Calvary's cross. He set the stage. He made the blueprints. The Bible said that the Lamb was slain before the foundation of the world. So it all has been founded upon the solid rock of Jesus Christ for our eternal salvation. We have the hope in Jesus' blood. We have a firm foundation. Nobody can separate us from the love of Jesus Christ but us. Jesus Christ is a solid, strong, firm foundation. He is the chief cornerstone. He is the one that holds up the body of Jesus Christ. We are built upon Jesus, of what he have done upon the cross. And to the contrast, is many false doctrines out there, false prophets is trying to contradict the doctrine of Jesus Christ. They're trying to make it look like that Christ is not the Savior of the world, or you can go some other kind of way. I remember reading in the book of John, it said, if any man climb up the ladder any other kind of way, he is a thief and a robber. Jesus Christ is the truth, the way, and the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me, the Lord said. So he says that, back to our scriptures, the Lord said, I lay in Zion for a foundation of stone, a tried stone, a precious stone. It's nobody is in compare to Jesus Christ. What make him so precious is because of the work that he have done for us, but he's so precious because he's so anointed, so attractive, so pure, so holy, and so loving and kind, until he have a spiritual attraction. You just can't help but be drawn to him. He looked nice. Everything he do, that's why I like this theme when he say he tried and precious. And just like Jesus, we are lively stones. He had made us a chip off of the old rock. Jesus Christ himself. Jesus was tested. We will be tested. We will have storms in our lives, trials and tribulations. You know what I learned from my experience in the gospel of Jesus Christ, just being a Christian? Christians, we don't have bad days. We just have challenges sometimes. But if you abide in Christ, it sure is a whole lot better to go through the storm with Christ than to go without him. Because we know that if we go in Christ, that in him we live and move and have our being, and apart from him we could do nothing, so we will have trials and tribulations.
Mm-hmm.
Take a pointer from our friend Job. Job was a perfect man who eschewed evil and feared God. He lost all he had, but yet the Bible said that Job, through his trials and tribulations, he never cussed God and died.
No.
Praise the Lord. So we will be tried like Jesus. And we can become precious. We're already precious in his eye, because Bible says that God has created us in his likeness and his kindness and his image.
Yes.
But the fact remains that God has to build his character in us. We can, mm-hmm. we have to go through the process, and there's no testimony without the test. Jesus set the example, a perfect example.
Mm-hmm.
Tried and precious.
Yes, Lord.
He said it was a joy for him to go to the cross. It has been a sample, as I point us back to the Word of God, if I may. It's an example given in John chapter 7, verses 37 through 39. Christ is the author. John is the author, but Christ is doing and speaking here. It says, in the last day, that great day of the feast, look what Jesus did, you guys. He stood and cried, saying, if any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. He that believed on me, as the scripture has said, out of this his belly shall flow rivers of living waters. And in verse 39, but this spoke he of the Spirit, which they that believe on him should receive. For the Holy Ghost was not yet given, because that Jesus was not yet glorified. He wasn't crucified yet. Now follow me to follow me to 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 4. Here you'll find out Apostle Paul reminds us in Scripture, quote, and did all drink the same spiritual rock that followed them, and that rock was Christ, unquote. We find out that I read in Exodus chapter 17, verse 6, when the Lord was saying, behold, I will stand before thee upon a rock in Horeb, which was a redemption. They experienced water from the rock. This was a type of Christ, the giver of the Spirit. When the children of Israel was thirsty in the wilderness, they had already been delivered from Egypt. They thought God had set them in, allowed them to be led into the wilderness to die of thirst. But all is pointing towards us right now, to Jesus, which is that solid rock that we drink from, drink of him. He is the rock that the church stand upon. He want us to stand upon him, so when the storms of life come, we won't be like the foolish man was. Said that the storms came, the winds blew, and a foolish man built his house on the sand. And when the storms descended, his house fell because it was just built on a weak foundation, on the sand. He fell. But it said that a wise man had built his house upon a rock, and it stood today because it was on a solid rock, which was Jesus Christ. Praise God. With that being said, I'm going to pass the baton over now to my wife, Pastor Aline Edison.
Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
You know, Jesus is the rock that we stand on. All you have to do is make your request made known to him, and he will do what you ask him to do.
Yes, Lord.
He is the foundation that all of your answers stand upon. But you yourself have to do something. You must have faith for what you prayed for. It may not come overnight, but you have to have faith. And keep on believing what you ask God for. Pray without ceasing. Your answer is in a persistent prayer. Jesus spoke to a parable unto them and told them that men ought always to pray and not faint. Don't give up. Jesus provides us with a parable about the necessity of persistent prayer.
Yeah.
Jesus wants his followers to maintain an attitude of unbroken communion with God through prayer, rather than becoming discouraged or losing heart. We should continue seeking the Lord in prayer, moment by moment. God's timing. Will God hear our prayers and delights in answering them? His timing and ways may differ from our expectation, but we have to. We have to keep on praying. We can't stop. God is not a God that he would lie to us. God will do what we ask him to do. He's always waiting and listening for our prayer through the Spirit of God. Yes. Prayer was made without ceasing of the church unto God for Peter. Paul encouraged us believers to pray continually. We are to pray over and over and over and often as we can and wait upon our answer. Because our answer, God hear it. He may not answer you right now, but he heard the prayer.
Amen.
Mm-hmm. We have to be, stand in position with God. Stand in a place to where you know God will answer you. Find a foundation, which is his word, to stand on. Be in a prayerful state and to frequently speak to God until you get your answer.
Mm-hmm.
Don't stop praying. Don't stop praying because God is waiting on you. He don't want you to quit.
Yeah.
Don't quit on God. Keep on believing, because when we stand on our faith, we're standing on that solid rock.
Yeah.
We're standing on that solid foundation. And if you give up on God, if you're not in position, you can miss out on what God, what you're asking for. When they prayed for Peter, they didn't stop. They did not stop. They kept on praying until they saw Peter standing at the door.
Yeah.
And your answer is at your door right now.
Yes,
somebody
Lord.
Just prayed for a situation that only God can make happen.
Yeah.
Only God can do. God will perform that miracle that you're asking him for. But you have to keep on praying without ceasing until you hear that knock on your heart's door saying, I have answered your prayer.
Yeah.
God is not a man that he should lie, and he will do whatever we ask him to do.
Yes, Lord.
In the name of Jesus. So don't give up. Don't quit. Don't stop praying. Your answer may not be here today. It may not be here next month. But trust me, it's traveling down the highway of blessings coming Hallelujah. Your way. In Hallelujah. Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Pastor. I appreciate that. One more passage of scripture came to my mind while you was ministering the word, and it's in Psalms, the 127th division of Psalm, verse 1. It said, except the Lord build a house, they labor in vain that built it, except the Lord keep it a city, the watchman wake it but in vain. So here, this tells me that some people sometimes try to build a house themselves instead of allowing the Lord to lay the foundation. Can no foundation be laid that is laid, and that is by who? Jesus Christ. So yes, we have Lord. To allow the Lord to be the one that builds. We're just laborers. Remember, I thought, remember when Paul said in Corinthians, say what? Paul planted. It said Paul planted. Mm-hmm. Another one watered. He said, but God gave the increase. We got to allow the Lord to set us on a foundation. We cannot detour. You know, I think about Joseph's life. If Joseph would have knew that pit was designed for him to go there every day, I believe that Joseph probably would have said, I ain't leaving the house this morning. They got a pit prepared for me to sell me a slave in Egypt. But it's for a purpose. So we cannot detour. We got to allow the Lord to build his house, the ministry that he's entrusted us with by being faithful and to his word and laboring. We have to go when he say not go. I mean go. And we have to go when we say not go. So in other words, we can't allow our flesh to hinder us. We have to move when the Spirit of God say move. You know, sometimes you might go an hour or two to a church and nobody show but just you and your wife. But God want to see how faithful you can be, because if you be faithful in little, I'll make your rulers of much.
Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord.
So we got to allow the Lord to build this thing. Amen? Because at the end of the day, it's God's house anyway. It's his ministry and trust us with. So I'm going to go ahead on and close with that, and I thank God for Pastor Arthur LaVar for allowing us another opportunity today, and thank for God for touching his heart. And I just want to close in prayer and pray for a few people that's on my heart right now, and I'll pass it back over to Pastor Arthur. Father God, we thank you right now for another opportunity to come before your throne of grace, Lord. First of all, we thank you, Lord, for being that solid, firm foundation that we have hope and trust in your blood.
Thank you.
And we know that we are secure what you have done for our redemption, Father God. We thank you,
Lord,
that your grace is sufficient for thee and your mercy endure forever, Lord. And Lord, I thank you right now, Father God, that we can stand in the gap for those who need to be prayed for today. First of all, we pray for those who need healing right now, God. We stand on your word according to Isaiah 53 and 5, with your stripes you will heal,
Lord.
Father God. We thank you for your healing virtue by your spirit is gone right now to reach out to those who need to be healed right now. In the name of Jesus, we pray for those right now. It was brought to my attention, Father God, we pray for those who are suffering right now and on grief or bereavement or their families. We lift up the Watson family right now, God, and the McCoy family, Lord, in the name of Jesus. Lord, we pray right now that you'll heal their hearts and heal their pain, Lord, knowing that to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. Lord, we pray for those who are listening, Lake Charles and DeQuincy area, and also Alexandria, Bunkie, and Mississippi, and all those out here in radio land right now. We thank you for being connected to us today,
thank
God.
Lord.
And Lord, I ask you right now to meet every need in this ministry of Pastor Arthur LaVar and our radio station, our families, God, and those who are part of his staff and ministry right now, God. We release a 104 apostle reward in their lives in this generation, oh God, in Jesus' name we trust. And we pray, Lord, we love you, and we just thank you, Lord,
thank
for not
you,
forgetting
Lord.
About neither one of us,
thank
God,
you, Lord.
That you're with us always, even to the end of the world, so we can rest in what we already know. And it's in you, Lord, you are precious.
Yes, Lord.
And tried.
Yes, Lord.
In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Pastor Arthur LaVar, once again, I want like to say this here. I almost forgot. This is Apostle Ronald Edison, Pastor Erlene Edison of Bethel Divine Intervention Ministry, 1909 Highway 71 North in Bunker, Louisiana. You can reach us if you would like to at 318-359-7892. Or 337-441-1665. God bless you. Thank you, Pastor Arthur.
Thank you, God. Thank you.
Amen. Pastor, would you give them that phone number once again if they have need of prayer or encouragement in the Word of God or to be built up?
Yes, sir. Give them
that numbers again.
Okay, yes, sir. The phone number is 318-359. That's 7892 or 337-441. That's 1665. Amen.
Pastor Lee, you have any further comments to make before we begin to wrap it up? Or any prayer you would like to offer for the people?
I'll continue in prayer. Father God, we just thank you, Lord God, for this Saturday. We thank you, Lord God, for our brother and friend, Father God, in the ministry. We thank you, Lord God, that he will regain a increase of abundance, oh God, him and his and First Lady, Lord, in the name of Jesus. Lord God, we cover each and every one of us right now that's hearing this recording with the blood of Jesus, because wherever the blood is, the enemy cannot come in.
Yes, Lord.
We pray, Lord God, for all these young people out there, Lord God, Father God, who is taking matters into their own hands, oh God. We ask, Lord God, that you bind that spirit of death and shooting from over them, oh God, in the name of Jesus. We ask, Lord God, that you would fill them with the precious Holy Ghost, oh God,
yes,
and turn
yes,
their lives back to you, Lord, in the name of Jesus. We pray for every mother, every grandmother, and sister or brother, aunts or uncles, Lord God, who have to go through these tragedy times with the children, oh God. We know, Lord God, that nothing happens except you permit it, Lord. So we pray, Lord God, a peace upon the families right now in the name of Jesus.
Yes,
Father
Lord.
God,
yes,
we Lord. Pray, Father God, that they, Father God, will come and kneel before your throne, oh God.
Yes, Lord.
Don't let them be dismayed, oh God, but let
yes.
them trust in you. Let them have yes. the God kind of faith that God has this already under control
yes.
in the
yes,
name
Lord,
of
Lord.
Jesus. Father
yes,
God,
Lord.
We thank you for taking
yes.
all this our situations, oh God, in the
yes,
ministry,
Lord.
Father God,
yes.
on the radio station, Lord God,
yes.
in the name of Jesus, those traveling in their cars right now
yes.
saying,
yes.
well, what must I do? What
yes.
must I do to be saved? All you have to do is call upon the name of
on
Jesus,
name of
and he
yes,
will
Lord.
Invite you in. What must
yes.
you do about that situation? Stand back and watch
yes.
the salvation of the Lord. What
yes.
must I do about what I'm going through right now? Just put it in the hands of God. And when you
yes,
put
Lord.
It in the hands of God, he will answer and take care of what concerns you. Because that's
yes.
what his words say. And Lord
yes,
God,
Lord.
We just thank you again. And
thank
we
you.
Glorify
thank
you.
You.
We magnify
yes.
you. And we lift
yes.
you up. And it and
yes,
come
Lord.
In agreement to these prayers by saying amen in Jesus'
amen.
Name. Amen.
Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord.
You
know, as you said earlier, Pastor, you know, hey, listen, pray without ceasing. Pray and
yes,
keep on praying.
Lord.
Hallelujah. But we have not because we ask not. Hallelujah.
Right. Yes.
And that means that some people don't even pray, you know. And then
Lord,
they say,
amen.
When we do pray, we pray amiss. But let me say something about prayer. You know, that's the most important part of our Christian relationship with our Father in heaven. You know?
Yes, Lord.
And that's the commune with our Father in heaven, the fellowship with him, you know. Take prayer, you know, not the petition of prayer, but the prayer of thanksgiving, you know, the prayer of glorification. The,
yes,
the
Lord.
Prayer of fellowshipping with our Father, you know. Hallelujah. Just communing with him, just talking
with
him,
him.
Just
yes.
making our requests known to him
yes,
without ceasing, you know. That constitutes a personal relationship with our
yeah.
Father in heaven through our prayer life, you know, because nothing happens outside of prayer, you know. Hallelujah. That's why God instituted prayer in the body of Christ, because what prayer
yes,
actually
Lord.
Does is give God legal rights and legal permission to interfere in the affairs of our lives here on earth. Listen, the Bible says, whosoever call upon the Lord shall be saved. Listen, you got to call upon him. Now, if you don't
amen.
Call upon him, you'll do a different thing, you know.
Amen.
Hallelujah. So if you ask, you say, whatsoever thing you desire, when you pray, believe that you receive it, and you shall have it. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Like Pastor said, you know, it might not mean see the instant result, man, in a moment, in a twinkling of an eye, but this one thing that you can know for sure, you know, the confidence that you have that if you pray and ask God anything that's according to his word and his will
yes.
for your life, then
yes.
we can know that he hears us. And if we know that he hears us, you got to know that he hears. We got to know that.
Amen.
And watch
amen.
This here, the way you can know that, you got that's why I say prayer is fellowship with him. In his word, man, you're seeking him, communing with him.
Yes.
Going after
yes.
him. You know, like the scripture says, seek ye first the kingdom of God. Seek first him and what he's doing and what his desire is for your life. And everything
yeah.
else going to be added unto us. What that is, that's a relationship with God. What that constitutes,
yeah.
that's a prayer life. And that's a personal thing right there. Thank God for the corporate experience of prayer.
Yes,
and thank God
yes.
for the prayer of agreement where we come together. But boy, one most important thing is, boy, that personal relationship with you and your Father. through your prayer life, through your communion with him. And in doing that, then you get to know him. You get to learn how to hear his voice, how to have understanding and clarity, how not just to be in the kingdom of God, but to learn the functioning principles of the kingdom of God. Like Apostle was saying, you know, they're the chief cornerstone. Unless the Lord build a house, unless we do it his way, then our labor is in vain. And he told me his word. He said, men ought always to pray. Hallelujah. Because that's what good men guard in on the situation. Glory to God. How you say that, Arthur? Listen, God said, let's make man in our image and our likeness, and let them, have dominion over the earth. Let them have kingship. Let them have rulership over the earth. Now, he said, let us make them, but let them. That means God turned the dominion and authority and the power and the control of everything that's going on in the earth. He put that in our hands. Hallelujah. Yeah. So for God to come in and start usurping authority over us, then he would be violating his word. And he can't do that. He got to watch over his word to perform it. If he said, let them have dominion, then the dominion in the earth is in our hands. Hallelujah. So when we return his word back to him, when we bring him and remember the word he said, then like his word said, his word ain't going to return to him void. Hallelujah.
Yes.
Why? He's going to accomplish what he sent it to do. Now, he didn't send the word. Now, it's our responsibility now to send it back to him. Glory to God.
That's right.
Now, if he didn't send us the word and we don't send it back to him, then he can't watch over that. Hallelujah.
Amen.
In your personal life, hallelujah. But boy, when you begin to send his word back to him, when we begin to bring him the remembrance of what he said, when we begin to tell him, boy, about his word and what his word say, listen, he got to watch over his word to perform that thing. Hallelujah. And then when we pray, here's the catch on it right here. After we pray, that gets the answer sent. Because the Bible, what the Bible says, if we ask anything according to his will, he know that he hears. And if we ask anything in his name, he said, that will the Father do. He said, here the two have you asked nothing in my name. But whatever you ask the Father in my name, he will do it for you. Glory to God. So when you ask anything according to his God's will, you think he say no? He might give you some instruction to follow in order to appropriate in his life, but if you ask anything according to his will, he ain't going to say no. If you ask God to save you, you think he going to say no? If we ask God to heal us, you think he say no? If you ask God to help, if we ask God to help us or provide for us or to deliver us, you think he say no? And the answer and the interceded promises are yes and amen. You know, he answered his word, you know. Now, when he answered his word, then we got to learn, man, to receive. Remember when Daniel prayed and God sent the answer immediate. But, man, it took 21 days for the answer to get there. Same thing, you think the devil, man, wants you to have a prayer life, man, like that wherever you ask the Father, In Jesus' name, he'll do it for you. Man, he don't ever want us to develop that kind of prayer life, boy. We have confidence in our going to our Father and making our petition known to him. Glory to God. So that's a very important role, important part in our relationship with God is our prayer life, you know, making our petition known to God.
Yes,
you know. But what the Bible say, he's standing in the congregation of the mighty, and he bring it. And what he does, and he judges amongst the God to bring righteous judgment. That means, man, God, well, you know, we got a right to be saved. We got a right to be
healed. Hallelujah.
We got a right to be delivered. We got a right to be provided for. We got a right to be forgiven. Listen, it was one man's disobedience and rebellion against God's known will for his life that plunged the whole human race into slavery of Satan and into sin and death. What? One man's disobedience. He listened. You were born in sin and shaped in iniquity. Glory to God. You know, he couldn't help but to sin. Why? Because we were born with a sin nature. We were born separated from God. We were born outside of the Garden of Eden. We were born in the wilderness. We were born without the Holy Spirit. We were born without that divine connection with God. So we were born in sin and shaped in iniquity. And it wasn't your sin. That was Adam's disobedience and Adam's rebellion against the known will of God. And just like it was one man's disobedience that brought sin and degradation and everything that's upon the earth that we're facing here today, then, man, listen, it is the same way, man, it is through one man's obedience.
Yes.
Jesus Christ. That the forgiveness of sin, you know, let me say it in another way, you know, if one man disobedient and rebellion, man, caused all of us to be born in sin and Satan in iniquity, that don't seem fair to us. Wouldn't that not be to cause me to be born this way? It's what Adam did. In the same way, man, he give righteous judgments. What's righteous judgment? I got a right to be saved, man, for what Adam
brought
me into.
Hallelujah.
So he, in his love and his kindness, he came himself in the person of his son and redeemed our life from that destruction. Hallelujah. So go ahead, pray this, Arthur, so that we can come back into that original relationship that we had with God before Adam and Eve them rebelled against his will. Can you imagine what kind of relationship Adam and Eve had with God before they ate off the tree of the knowledge of good and evil?
Yes,
what they were doing? They were walking and talking with God in the cool.
Yeah.
They were in constant fellowship with the Father. They were in prayer 24/7, praying without ceasing. What? Fellowshipping with the Father. He's always around them, always in them, always with them. Walking and talking with God in the cool of the day.
Lord.
Unbroken fellowship. Glory to God. A developed relationship, a personal relationship. And man, we lost that in Adam. But boy, God loved us so much that he came himself in the person of his son and not only redeemed our life from that destruction, but restored back to us everything that we lost in Adam. So what praise on that? So that we can once again begin to commune with God and walk and talk with God in the cool of the day, just like it was before Adam and Eve ate off the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. But that is, that's prayer. And that's developing, man, a personal relationship. And in doing that, that's developed on a cornerstone, on a chief cornerstone, which is Jesus Christ for himself, the word of the Most High God. And as we do that, there's a man, God going to honor his word and watch over his word upon us. Pastor Earlene and Apostle Ron, you know, I thank you so much for being out here with me. It's an honor and a privilege to be a part of what God is doing. It's good for brothers and sisters to dwell together in unity. And I know that, hey, listen, what God has taught us together for to bless God's people, as it is out of it, God's people will be blessed. For he who have begun a good work on the inside of us, he's going to complete that thing, hallelujah, because he's the cornerstone.
Amen.
He's begun the work.
Amen.
And whatever he begun, he's going to complete it. All we got to do is just get on what he's doing. That way we cease from our works. That don't mean we don't work. We cease from our works. And we get in on what he's doing, like the father said, unless the Lord build a house, then I will lay down. As we get in on what he's doing, he's going to watch over his word. He's going to answer your prayers. He's going to see to it that everything that you go through, that everything that you might be going through, that you're going to make it out, and you're going to come out, boy, tried and precious. Hallelujah. Just like you tried, boy. Perfect boy, already been created in his image and his life. I close with this. God's going to have what he sees. And God said, man, let's make man in our image and our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish in the sea, the bird of the air, the cattle, everything that creepeth on the earth. He said that. And let me tell you something, if it take him 1,000,000,000 years, it don't matter, he don't live in time. He's going to have what he said. And all we got to do is be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work and the word of the Most High God. It's not the
feeling
of prayer that every need, I come in agreement with the pastor and apostle, that every need that's represented out there, that it is met already. And God said, I'll answer you even before you call. So therefore, any petition that's out there, whether it be physically, emotionally, socially, spiritually, every area, we decree and declare that it is met in Jesus' name. This is now time to help. We love y'all with the love of the Lord. Again, if you could be of any help, you can contact us at Kingdom Life Fellowship, 713-870-3776. 713-870-3776. Look forward to talking to y'all again next week. God bless you. Bye-bye. Thank you, Pastor.
Love you,
God.
Thank you.
Thanks.
This is KAYT, Gina, Alexandria.